Welcome to The Wolf Whistle, the podcast that interviews and celebrates the former players of our great club, Wolverhampton Wanderers. Welcome to The Wolf Whistle.
Welcome to a special series of continued Wolf Whistle podcasts where we speak to former players about their best 11 from their time at the club. We're very lucky to be joined by former goalkeeper Matt Murray. Matt, how are you?
I'm all good. Climbing the walls a little with this lockdown, but apart from that, look, I'm safe. My family's safe, and so, I'm blessed.
Good. Right, so Matt, obviously rewinding the clock from the years when you was at Wolves, what formation are you going to go for?
Well, when I played, which was a long time ago, we always played 4-4-2. Obviously, the promotion season under Dave Jones, and then the season where I enjoyed a lot of success under Mick McCarthy as well, we played 4-4-2. So I am going to go for that formation part.
Perfect. And obviously, the big question is, who is going to start in goal?
That was a really, really tough one, and you're worried about offending your mates and everything else. But I think the level of goalkeeping, competing against some good goalkeepers, but my mentor, I cleaned his boots. I thought he was an absolute unbelievable servant of the club. Some great times there. Still speak to him now, and he's a brilliant mentor for me. So Mike Stowell will be my number one.
Oh, great keeper, great. I mean, Mike played a lot of games for the club, a lot of games. How good was he, Matt?
Oh, he was top draw, and obviously he had a bit of an unconventional way through to the top, went to Everton. If you hear the stories of that, was brilliant. I think he was playing non-league, and then he went to Everton. He learnt off Neville Southall. Obviously, to get past Neville would have been tough. Ended up coming into Wolves, and he was a really hard worker, hard trainer, played through injuries, super consistent, and unlucky not to achieve promotion at his time at the club. I thought he could do everything. Really good shot stopper. Say it wasn't textbook because of the way he came through, so it wasn't technical, even though he was a decent technician, but he was just really effective at keeping the ball out of there. I thought he took crosses, kicked well, and he was brilliant to learn from him and be underneath him and see how hard he worked on the training ground, in the gym, everything else. So I was buzzing the day they said I was going to clean his boots. It was fantastic for me because as a schoolboy I've grown up watching him. So yeah, I thought he was a really, really good goalkeeper for Wolves, and quite rightly so, known as a legend.
Brilliant. I mean, Matt, you could have actually picked yourself, so that's a big move, picking Mike Stowell. Who is your right back going to be, Matt?
He said about picking myself, I'd have picked Keams, Hennessy, because a few other keepers ahead of me. So I didn't even make the bench. I didn't even make the squad to travel.
Brilliant. You're not even travelling?
I'm not even travelling. I'm gone. I'm training with the kids, me, mate.
God, you're in the bomb squad?
Well, to be honest, I'd probably be in the treatment room. I said it.
We was going to have the best 11 in the treatment room. Who's your right back going to be, Matt?
Okay, again, look, I thought I played with some good players, and certainly some players who had some top careers. Jackie McNamara is a very good right back.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's, I thought there was a lot, different people at different times. I felt under Mick, different players filled into that position, if I'm honest. But the one I'm going to go with was in the promotion season. He played a lot of the games there. What an unbelievable career. His nickname was Ledge. He was actually a Wolves fan as well. So Dennis Irwin will be my right back.
Dennis Irwin, what a player.
Yeah, top draw. And so humble. You think of everything he'd won in the game. Never gave it large. Came in, trained well every day, did his stuff, got off. I don't think he ever had a bad game. So Alex Ferguson called him his 7 out of 10. He could take free kicks, set pieces. If he had the feeling at left back, he could. He wasn't big, he wasn't quick, he wasn't strong, but he never, ever got done, never gave the ball away. And when you're having a tough time sometimes as a young lad, and it can be quite daunting playing at Molineux, whatever, he just give you that little look or give that little tap on the shoulder and just give you that confidence. So
yeah,
he was unbelievable. So Dennis Irwin will be my right back.
Wow, great choice. So the opposite flank, who is your left back?
Well, he wouldn't talk to me again if I didn't choose him. So we've been at the club together since we're about 10, 11, worked our way through. He's one of my children's godparents. Family love him to bits. I trusted him on and off the pitch. He was one of the few people that actually dare room with me because I was crazy. I used to go to bed with nothing on and wake up, as you probably know, Jace, because I stayed at your house.
Yeah.
And I'd wake up when I'd room with nails with my goalie gloves on or my tracksuit on and be running around the room. So Nails is just my guy, man.
Brilliant.
Lee Naylor's my left back. I thought he was brilliant at showing people on the outside, stopping crosses. Had a great left foot. Loved the diag, could whip crosses in, scored the odd wonder goal. He was awful at pre-season running, but in a game he could run all day. Played loads of games. I think he wore number 3 and played 333 games for Wolves.
Wow, I didn't realise it was that many.
Yeah, he played a lot. He started at a young age. He was only 17, 18 when he got in the team. Fought off a few players. You know, it was a good few times you thought maybe he'd be on his way. Fought him off. Local lad, loved the club. So, look, I love Nails a bit. He went down injured in every game, but we used to say he was made of rubber because he'd be hopping around 1 minute and next thing doing a 50-yard sprint and smashing a shot or something.
Brilliant.
Lee Naylor's my left back.
And to be fair to Lee, he went on to have a great career playing in the Champions League for Celtic. You know, he excelled after he left Wolves.
Well, in the Premier League season, you know, he helped a lot raising his little girl, Mia. And he wasn't ever present. I think he might have been sub in one game and came on, but he played a part in every game in the Premier League season, which shows you how good he is. He was. He had some unbelievable performances. You can never remember them. So you say to him, what was it like playing against Ronaldo, Messi, you know, playing in the Champions League, playing in the Premier League? You can't remember. It's probably part of his strength. He just used to turn up, play and do his stuff. So,
yeah.
Look, he played right the way up to the under-21s. He was brilliant at Celtic, as you say, got to the knockout stage of the Champions League. So over 500 career games. So,
wow.
Yeah, he's a very, very consistent campaigner. And I think he could play in the modern game with his style as well. Fullbacks, he loved to bomb on. So, yeah, Lee Naylor's my left back.
100%. Who are your two, because you need two big centre-halves doing your work, Matt. Who are your centre-halves?
Again, a really tough decision. Played with some really good pros. Paul Butler, Jody Cradder, you know, I love playing Gary Breen, Neil Collins, all different sorts of players, very, very good players. Ludovic Polle.
Oh, yeah,
people
Polle.
Like that, I go back a long way. But my right-sided centre-back,
yep.
God rest his soul, is going to be Dean Richards.
What a player.
Super player, super lad. Obviously went on to do what he did. He had a bad injury at Wolves, then he still got fit and played in the Premier League for Southampton. Most expensive player not to play for England. Defender, not to play for England. Went to Tottenham and unfortunately then had the issues, and you look back now and he was getting those headaches at Tottenham, and that'll be what, you know, unfortunately ended up costing his life. And he's so sad because he was taken far too young, and
loved
him
to
bits.
And
he was there when I was an apprentice coming through. Hello.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's top man.
And he was an unbelievable talent, wasn't he? You know, at that particular time, you know, we was going through defenders, but Dean coming, he really did seem to steady the ship, didn't he, Matt?
Oh, look, at the time I think he was a record signing, came from Bradford. And again, you look at the modern era, how defenders play. Well, he was that. He was quick, he was strong, but he was good on the ball. He was cool on the ball. He was effective in both boxes. And the lads all respected him. He was a real leader. And I kept in contact with him when he went to Tottenham because Robbie Keane went there.
Yeah.
So we were really good mates. But he was like a big brother. And we were similar in size. So he used to buy his Nicholas Deakins from Diffusion and all that in town. And the other shop, I can't remember. The other shop, was it Limey's or something down at the bottom?
Le Monde?
There was Le Monde, that was it. So he used to get his gear from Le Monde and from Diffusion. And he always looked cool, Dino. And then he'd pass it on to me. So I'd be wearing it down the Canal Club or Light Bar, thinking, oh, the man is Dean Richards, hand me down. So, look, He's a lovely, lovely guy, he was, and as I say, taken far too young. So, yeah, I think Dean Richards playing on the right side centre back would have been, some player.
So, the left side centre back, I've got a feeling, I know it might be another good mate of yours, but I'll let you reveal it, Matt.
Yeah, so look, he's 6'3", rapid. Had injuries again early on, but still went on to have a phenomenal career, even if he did play for those like down the road. He was a frustrated striker in training. He used to like joining in up front and scoring a few goals. But so we came through the youth team together again. So to play with this lad and do what, you know, to do, you know, to play with your mates and make it through to the first team was fantastic. I feel every year, rightly so, he won player of the year for Wolves. He was the best player, best defender in the division, no matter what strike he played up against. He had the intelligence to mark a Theo Walcott out of the game and Andy Johnson out of the game. Whoever the main man was at the time in the Championship, he did it. And that's why he went on to move to Everton, then win the Premier League with Manchester City, score goals for England in major competitions. My left side of centre back has to be Jolyon Lescott.
I was just going to say, it's so unfortunate about Jolyon Lescott and yourself, really, Matt. The playoff final, obviously, you both played out your skin, and you know, obviously, the Premier League's beckoning. We needed you two players, you know, the spine of the team, and you both got injured, which was just awful, and that was pivotal in obviously the relegation, I believe, losing two key players so early on.
Yeah, look, it was a killer for us. You know, we dreamed of playing in the Premier League, and we both played with injuries, you know, through the second half of the season. So people want to talk about gangsters and all this and that doing us, and there's nothing like that at all. We missed the season because Jolyon had bad knees, and he played on with it. I had a hernia and I probably wasn't rehabbed properly, and then struggled. And obviously I had the injuries, so only played one game at Blackburn and we got absolutely spanked. So it was a killer. Jolyon missed the whole season. He's obviously gone on to show that what an accomplished Premier League defender he was. So yeah, we're gutted. We're gutted, and you never know. If we'd have both been fit, you don't know. I thought Oakes, he still did well, and obviously then Paul Jones came in. But for Jolyon to miss, he was top draw. And it was a big miss to us. And but that will be one of the reasons, you know, Jolyon not playing, why we didn't go down. But I always say that the most influential player of the majority of the games I played, he was the best player, and he was the best he could be.
Yeah.
And as few, Jody Craddock was the same, in the way of he just couldn't have been any better, if you know what I mean. He just looked at every part of his game, his life, didn't call it a sacrifice, invested in himself to go on then and be the best. And there's not many people in any walk of life, no matter what they do, go, you know what, I've actually been near enough every day the best I could be.
Wow.
And I think that's pretty awesome. So when he was in my dressing room, I trusted, I just knew he'd done everything right preparing for the game, and I just felt with, he just made you feel safe, him playing in front of me. So Paul Butler, unbelievable captain, and say people like that, but my centre-back partnership will be Dean Richards and Jolyon Lescott together, and I think that would be pretty awesome.
Wow, it certainly would. So four across the midfield, starting on the right-hand side, who is going to be your right-sided midfielder or winger?
Yeah, look, I love playing with natural width. I liked it as a goalkeeper, and I could catch the ball and wing the ball out. And I thought Newton did it brilliantly for us, but I just love the way that Michael Keightley came in under Mick from Grays and just grew and developed his craft and go inside, outside, scored important goals, just got better and better. Lovely lad again, brilliant to be in your dressing room.
Yeah.
Would work back defensively really, really hard. So again, it was a tough decision, but I love him to bits. And and he went on to have a very, very good career. Oh. Still again, speak to him now. So Michael Keightley will be my right winger.
Yeah, and like you said, he went on to obviously play in the Premier League for other clubs. He started in the non-league. Yes, he had a little spell at Southend in the league. Drop back, and then it was a big transition for him to come to Wolves, but he seemed to take it in his stride, didn't he, Matt?
He did, and a lot of the players came and grew, and these young players, these young players came and grew into it, you know what I mean? So And that's what the team was buying. He was finding all these gems: Stephen Ward, Andy Keogh. You know, the list goes on. He did it with Jarvis, yeah. People like that, and these young players: Carl Henry, Darren Potter, all these sort of players that came in. And he, you know, they ended up becoming really established players,
yes,
and having fantastic careers. So Kites used to be out all the time, worked hard in the gym, always looked cool. Always say to him, always looked $1 million, best dressed geezer for sure. And loved the banter and the play fight and all that stuff, which I buzzed off. But he'd have a bag of balls out, going out early, working on coming in on his left foot, going on his outside and his right. And he just got better and better and better. So with the hard work, the natural talent, the hunger and desire, because he can say he hadn't had it easy growing up. I know he always feels that maybe the way he left, he was made a little bit of a scapegoat, but his contract was running out. He had to do what was right for him.
Oh, yeah.
But when he was fit and when he was at it, then I thought he was a really, really good winger. And, so Michael Kiley's my right winger.
Great choice. Who is on the left side, Matt?
I'm going to go. I always remember the first day he came and trained with us, and we were doing pre-season at Cosford. And he signed, and you heard about this lad, Irish lad, bit of a boy. You know, he'd been at Millwall and I think Wimbledon and Liverpool and all that. Manchester City, been a bit of a boy. Anyway, we're doing this sort of drill, and he punched this ball with his left foot, and it was like the sweetest strike I've ever seen. I was like, wow, how did he strike a ball like that?
Really?
Anyway, again, lovely, lovely guy. He's ended up doing a bit of coaching at Wolves. Gone on to be manager now, making his way in the game. I ended up playing in midfield, I think, for Wolves, but definitely for Ipswich. So, again, I loved the width he brought, the crosses he brought, and he showed that sweet punch of a left foot in the playoff final. Oh. So, to open the scoring. So, again, you know who this is. So,
Sparky.
Yes, Sparky. Mark Kennedy is my left winger for sure.
What a player. And in the centre of midfield, who are your two players? And you're going to go for an attacking one and a defending one, perhaps?
Yeah, I think that the way it used to work, you know, when we played, is that the players have to be intelligent. So they have to realise if the one was bombing on and he could make the box and make those numbers, the other one might have to offer that protection. Whereas obviously now you play more with holding midfielders. Still, people do play 4-4-2, and I believe whatever formation you play, the players are intelligent and good footballers. They can, you know, the players make the system, if you like. So I think these two in a midfield, especially with the wide players helping them out, could hold their own for sure. So I didn't realise he was a hero. Look, you watched him growing up as a kid, and when he came and signed for Wolves, like Dennis, when this guy came as well, like, what, he's coming and playing in that same team as us. We were like, me, Jolly and Nails, like looking at each other like, wow, the governor is playing with us. So he's in our team. But you think, oh, tough, hard tackling. What a footballer, mate. You do shooting drills with him, left foot, right foot, couldn't tell the difference. Spray it about. Training to play. So he made sure that on a match day, he was at it. Didn't always train as hard, but when he wanted to in training, he'd go for it. Chipped me once, unbelievable, one of the best chips I've ever conceded, and then just ran in and got a massage. He loved it. He was banter. You know, you had senior pros like him and Paul Butler in the dressing room, Dean Sturridge in that, police in it, Alex Ray. We had so many good players, but Paul Ince has to be in the centre midfield. I just thought in the playoff final, on so many games, he was just awesome. And if you remember, Jace, just after Christmas, we were struggling.
Yeah.
But we went and beat Newcastle in the FA Cup. He scored a goal. We'd been beaten at home, I think it might have been Boxing Day or somewhere around Christmas, by Bradford. I think we lost away at Burnley. We just were struggling.
Yeah.
But people like Ince, they played at the San Siro. They played at, you know, Old Trafford. They played for England. Give me the ball. I'm not hiding. I'm not the man. Do you know what I mean? And those senior pros lifted as young boys. And then we were just second half of the season. We blitzed it. He was obviously excellent in the Premier League, everything else. So, look, Paul Ince was his career speaks for itself. and he has to be in there. I think he'd bring everything that we needed in that midfield.
Wow, yeah, what a player, you know, with all that experience. And like you said, he played in all the, you know, some big, huge clubs and big, huge games and atmospheres. And like you said, to have that experience in midfield, when the backs are against the wall, he'd always drag you out. Who would partner the governor?
Again, and I was looking at it, and I don't actually think they play particularly well when they play together. So I'm not picking them in that way. But I love Alex Ray, Colin Cameron, so many players. I think Carl Henry was a brilliant servant for Wolverhampton Wanderers. But you talk about them complementing each other. I just felt that this player in Mick McCarthy's first season really stepped up. Scored goals, got on the ball, very different personality to Paul Ince, but still led by example in a dressing room of very, very young players. And I think he loved his football under Mick McCarthy. He's still involved with the club now. Got to say, a lot of important goals. He played in a World Cup for his country, at least one. I'm sure he did anyway. And he was a very, very good player who again went on to leave Wolves for a decent fee and go and play a lot of Premier League games. So I'm going to go for the very intelligent, who did all sorts of degrees and stuff in his spare time, Shay Olafinyana, whatever midfielder.
I mean, look, Matt, that's a big call. Look, Shay's a fantastic player, but there were so many great midfielders, you know, at the club at that time. Like you said, Colin Cameron, Alex Ray. But Shay, he's so, so calm on the ball. Is that one of the reasons, well, you know, why you've picked him?
Yeah, and I just felt that he scored a lot of goals, you know, that season under Mick. Mick's first season. Don't underestimate the amount of goals he scored and arriving from midfield and running on. And that's what I'm saying. In this system, you've got to know who's going to get up there and support your strikers or make the box, and you've got your wingers whipping balls in. But if they have to sit, then they're still mobile to go and cover and defend. And he's a good size, a good physical presence, a technically good footballer. If we want to dominate the ball, he had those passes. So I felt that he and Ince didn't actually play that well together when they're with each other. I don't think their personalities complemented each other, but I still think they're both good physical presence and but both technically good players as well. So yeah, I just always was a big fan of Shay Olafinyana.
Yeah,
it's not easy for me to say.
He plays for the All Stars now, and he's nearly 40, late 30. He's still unbelievable. Doesn't carry an ounce of fat. And he's just unbelievable player. So you're two centre forwards. Who's getting your goals, Matt? Oh,
well, this was a partnership when I first came to the club. In my first season as an apprentice, these two ended up playing a lot in the first team, different stages of their career.
Yeah.
So the first one, I think, would just drop in a whole link play. Play with that exuberance. Again, what a career. What a career. And if he's country's leading goal scorer, over 100 Premier League goals, move for huge, huge sums if you combine them all, plays for Tottenham, Liverpool, Inter Milan. You know, this is a top, top player. Bang goals in for Celtic. So, again, I was thinking Kenny Miller, Ebanks Blake, all sorts of players like that that were there. Got to have Robbie Keane. Yeah. Got to have him. Yeah, you know, I was his best man at his wedding. He's my little girl's godfather. Going on now to do the coaching with his country and with Middlesbrough. But I just think his intelligence and just some of the goals he scored throughout his career, Robbie Keane has to be in there.
I mean, obviously you come through the ranks with him. What was he like when he broke into the first team in terms of, you know, in training? I've heard other players go, it was just like you could just see how good he was from almost day one.
Yeah, look, he was a cheeky chap. He was no fear. And when people say, oh, about street footballers and that, what I mean is when I say that, he hadn't come through the academy system, you do this, you do that. He just learned how to dribble and beat players, and his left foot, right foot, you couldn't tell the difference. His close control, the little megs, he didn't just make you for the sake of it, he makes you around the other side. And so we went to a tournament, so I was just finishing off my GCSE, so I'm still at school, I'm year 11. We travel with them. Robbie's a first year apprentice. He heard all about Mark Jones, who'd been signed from Aston Villa for money. went to this tournament in Holland. Oh my days, Robbie Keane ran rings around Sampdoria, Ajax, everyone was like, who's this player? He got player of the tournament, he was amazing. I was like, wow, this guy's special. Wow. So then we didn't really see him in pre-season. He just went down with the first team and he'd had a bit of beef with a few of the players because he just ran down there and ran rings around them. And they were like, oh, you young whippersnapper, you can't do this. And, why? It's not against the rules. I'm not picking the ball up and running with it in my hands. I'm doing what we're allowed to do. So brilliant. Just stop me then. You know what I mean? He had no fear and he was this cheeky kid from Dublin. He just loved playing. But what people, he had unbelievable natural ability, very quick off the mark, his movement, the way you always used to see him checking his shoulder, you know, very distinctive style, pointing where he wanted the ball. But he worked hard, okay? He knew how to play hard, but he worked hard. We used to stay behind non-stop. We used to change at the Molyneux, but drive down to the training ground. And we used to keep a bag of balls back in my car and used to practice finishing day after day after day against me. Running through 1v1s, the little scoops, the megs going around me, shooting from the edge of the box, back, left foot, right foot. So it wasn't just a fluke that he was this player. We used to go on holiday together. Even on his stag do, he'd be running in the morning, going on a run down the beach in Miami, sweating it out. Jolly and Les got on his stag do, it was the same, working out before, going for a drink and doing whatever. These guys, as I say, it wasn't a sacrifice, it was an investment. Yeah. And that's aside, people making their meal plans. So of course they earned good money, but they invested it in the right way. They'd be getting, you know, massage and release work, everything. So he had to overcome some stuff, Robbie, with certain moves and that, but he came to Wolves, he was top draw, and that's why things happened for him so quickly. So yeah, he worked really, really hard. I remember once I was beating him in a run and there was just no way he was going to let me beat him. How can they keep a beating? And I ran harder and harder and I kept going. And he just kept going until eventually he caught me. And it was a long run and I couldn't have ran it any harder, you know.
Brilliant, brilliant. And stories like that, you just, you know, yes, they've hit the top of their career and, you know, the trappings of their fame, etc. But to get there, they've had to make huge sacrifices and, you know, work, have an unbelievable work ethic, haven't they, Matt?
Yeah, well, he leaves home at 16 years of age and moves over, you know, and leaves his family behind. You know, it's not easy to do that.
No.
And you come and you do your stuff, and then to go from being he's from Tala, which isn't the most affluent of areas, from a fantastic family, and he's got great people around him. But a lot of people could have gone to their head, you know, but he kept working and striving. And when you hit a certain level of money, it isn't the money that drives you, you know, it's that desire to be the best. And he loves football. And you'll see that with his coaching and everything else. So, yeah, he did work really, really hard. And he's deserved the career he's had. And Hope is very proud of it, because I know that everybody associated with Wolves is, because they know that, like Jolie and Lee Naylor, Robbie, he's one of their own, that he started there. And I know he always feels it's a special reception he gets, even when he's banging goals in for Tottenham and Aston Villa and everything else. He still knows that the Wolves fans have a special place for them, and likewise he does for them.
Yeah, brilliant. And who's going to partner Robbie?
Look, I only played with him a little bit in pre-season. Played on his game when he came back at Molyneux, sold out the stadium. There was about 7,000 or 8,000 there. Didn't sell out the stadium, but 7,000 or 8,000 for a Reggie game to see him. I was, my first ever pre-season trip away was the pre-season that he retired on, and me and Keno and Nails and Carl Robinson were cheeking him loads, having fun. But again, still speak to him now. Does loads of fantastic work for the charity. There's loads of charities, to be fair. He's a great, great guy. And I always say that nobody is bigger than the club.
Yeah.
But this man is probably as close as you get to it.
And, yeah.
He's an absolute legend. They sing his name still. It was an honour that I did get to pull on a wall shirt with him on a few occasions. And if you don't have, bully, you know, I used to sing his name on the stands when I was a young kid coming along. Used to get my tickets as a schoolboy, and then we used to go, and Bully was there banging the goals in, so I've cheered many a Bully goal. even just the way he came from West Brom and sort of saved us with Tomo and just everything about it. He is one of the biggest sort of chapters of the club's history. And I think if most fans could have been one Wolves player, you know, even if you're a rock star, you hear Robert Plant talk about it, you'd want to be that guy who just scored goal after goal, local lad. And if you don't have, I think it's fitting that I finish with him as the last name on the team sheet. Of course, if you were writing your team, he'd probably be first name on the team sheet.
Yes.
But what, you know what I'm trying to say? I'm finishing this conversation with Steve Ball, who, by the way, when I trained with him, even though he was coming towards the end of his career, he just loved hitting the net. And he still referenced that now when you coach players. He just loved hitting the net. He didn't care how he did it. He hit it early, hard, low, through you, bang. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you cheeked him a bit on the bus or whatever, he'd give you a bit, you know what I mean, and put you back in your place. But, you know, again, I still speak to Bully now. See him around a lot. He'll always help you if you're trying to do things. So, Steve Ball and Robbie Keane up front with the team behind them, the supply line, the defence and everything else. I think with Bully and Keane up front, they would they'd put a lot of goals away from us. And, yeah, Bully's my man.
And who is going to be the manager of this great team, Matt?
Okay. Dave Jones gave my debut, got us promoted for the first time, played under Mark McGee, Colin Lee, Glenn Hoddle, a few managers there.
You've seen a few off, didn't you, Matt?
Yeah, certainly did. The manager that I felt I played my best football under, and I felt that got a squad to overachieve, if you like, kept them in the Premier League for 3 years on a very different budget to what Nuno's working under. And I just think the way he galvanised the club, got everyone back on side and everything else, what a leader. I think he'd be sorting out all this coronavirus and Brexit and everything now if he was a Prime Minister. So Mick McCarthy has to be my manager.
Brilliant. I'll just go through your team now, Matt. So in goal, Mike Stoll. Right back, Dennis Irwin. Left back, Lee Naylor. Centre halves, right hand side Dean Richards, left hand side Jolyon Lescott, right wing Michael Keightley, left wing Mark Kennedy, centre midfield pairing of Paul Ince and Shay Olifinyana, and your two strikers Robbie Keane and Steve Ball, managed by Mick McCarthy. That is a great team, Matt. Are you pleased with that?
I am. I left Kenny Miller and people like that out who scored goals for fun, but I still feel that team is would certainly hold its own.
Well, Matt, thank you very much for coming on the Wolf Whistle podcast. We are going to get you back on at some point when you're less busy and you're not in lockdown, and we're going to get your full story about your time at Wolves. So I really appreciate your time tonight, Matt.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you, Jace. Take care, bro.
Speak to you soon. Ta-ra, mate.
Cheers, mate. Bye-bye. Bye.